the outline that you have, I don't know the exact title, about the five stages of progressive shepherding. Is that right? Something like that? That is actually using Psalm 23 to cover the matter of shepherding. I think so. This matter of progressive shepherding, okay, this is a word that our brother used to care for people in a progressive way, is a huge subject. In fact, I would say, in my experience, this is one reason why our shepherding has not been effective or consistent, right? And in a kind of a stage-by-stage way, as they should be, right? Like you raise up a child, depending on their age, you go from stage to stage, you know, according to their need and their age and their, you know, where they are. Okay, so but let's cover that later on. Now, this morning, I'll see how far we go. I will definitely let us all leave here by noon. Is to the next two Roman numeral in this particular outline, which you will get. One is really getting into cherishing people in the humanity of Jesus. And the last one would be nourishing people in the divinity of Christ. I may just cover number two, just on the cherishing side, which of which I have spoken a little already in the last session earlier. Because, brothers, I may sound like I'm belaboring certain things, but the fact of the matter is there are still many saints who have never done this, or they did not know this, or they have not been taught this, in how to care for people. Even mothers, you know, just in the human realm, and fathers, you know, there's no father school or mother school. You learn as you go. You just get your on-the-job training. And so many made mistakes, myself included, as parents, and even now as grandparents, I found out I need to learn how to be a grandparent. You know what I'm saying? I cannot just take it for granted because I love my grandkids. I know how to be with them. You know, I have my wife and I, we have two daughters. We have no sons. So in this sense, we don't have the experience, you know what I mean, in raising boys. Well, we have four grandchildren, three of whom are male boys. And so I find that something that I never learned in raising our daughters, I need to learn now in how to raise up boys. Boys are different, you know, totally different. So, dear brothers and sisters, if we have the heart to care for people, we will devote ourselves to learn. Learn. It doesn't just come with birth. Yes, there's motherly instincts, fatherly instincts. You know, no one goes to school. You know, very many things are instinctive. But, you know, there are a lot of experiences that, you know, mothers, you pick up from your own mother. You know, that's how you learn how to take care for better or for some cases for worse. But anyway, we need to learn. If we have the heart, let us learn, because that's what we do every day. That's our church life. That's our service and labor. Let us learn how to do this in a more effectual way, caring for people. Okay. So the second Roman numeral here in this, my outline here is to cherish people in the humanity of Jesus. I'll just go by my outline. To cherish people is to make them happy. What a simple definition. Really on point. Is to make people happy. To comfort them. You know, the best way to make people is to comfort them. make them comfortable, make them happy, make their day, you know what I mean? To make them feel that you are pleasant with them, easy to be contacted in everything and in every way. Before you say a word, before you feed, you have this baby, right? You hold them, the way you hold them, the way you embrace them, the way you move about, the way you cradle, the way you do this, right? All this, you're not even feeding. You are making the baby comfortable, feel secured, am I right? Pleasant, happy in every way. This is cherishing. If they're cold, you wrap them with a blanket. If they're too hot, you take off some clothes, right? If they have a little sore here, you put a little ointment. You give them a kiss, you give them a hug, right? You say, "Well, this shepherding, that's shepherding." It starts there. And so, of course, when we care for people, we don't do these things literally, but properly, truly, we do need to learn how to make people happy. I like to tell you, this is just a principle. When you make people happy, you get happy. You're happy. It just works like that. When I make someone happy, and I, not in a pretentious political way, right? I genuinely care to make that person happy. They become happy. Or I comfort someone. I may be sad, but I comfort someone nevertheless. I empathize with them. I feel for them. And sometimes I even say things of encouragement to lift their spirits, to be pleasant to them, to say something nice to them. This is not being political. This is know how to be human. You want to have a baby that will eat what you give him. The baby has to feel good about you, the feeder. They have to like you. They have to be open to you. They will listen to you. And you have to do something to make that happen. Saints, these are very practical points, but we start there. We start there. The Lord Jesus came, perform a lot of miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He strengthened those who are lame. All those are cherishing work. Because when he did that, the people are cherished. They care for physically and psychologically. And because of this, they follow wherever Jesus would take them. They listen to Jesus' teaching. Usually, this is how the Lord patterned himself in his work. He'd go to this place, he did something of powers and wonder, so-called miracle, to cherish the people, to show the people he had compassion on them, he loved them, he cared for them. Then he will teach, and he will sit on a boat, and he will sit on the pasture. He will go into a house, and he will teach the people, and they will listen. That's what we're talking about. And I'm sorry, some of us don't know how to do that. Some of the brothers, they know how to praise the Lord in the meeting, exercise the spirit. They know how to give a word, but they don't know how to make people pleasant, feel pleasant. They don't know how to comfort people. They don't know how to make people happy. That's something we have to learn, right? Number two, we must have a pleasant countenance when we contact people. We should be happy and rejoicing. Even your countenance. You go to shepherd someone, you have a long face, you have a depressed look. Who would be cherished by you? Okay? Who would want to listen to you if you're such a downer? You're so dark. Now, I'm not saying we're here to pretend, put on a mask, you know, to act up. No, no, no. And this is where we do need to reach to the source of joy in our spirit, the Lord Himself. We need to live a life of being filled in the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is one of the first ones after love is joy. Is joy. And that joy is not just to make us happy, but dear saints, to make us delightful. Delightful, so that when we contact people, they will be happy. This joy would flow to them. We will be a channel of joy to other people. Number three, we should not contact anyone with a cheerless countenance. You know, we need to learn how to cheer people up. Can I say that? You know, this world is full of suffering, full of pain, full of loneliness, full of, you know, tragedy. And we don't go around to add more tragedy, right? To add more. No, we should be those who cheer. You know, in the Bible, wine, which is a picture of the spirit, of the divine life, is to cheer. And when we're filled with the Lord, we enjoy the Lord Jesus. We should go around cheering people up. They have a bad day. They just lost their job. This young person got a C in his test. Before you talk God's economy or whatever, they need to be cheered up. They need to be warmed. We must give people the impression that we are genuinely happy and pleasant. Otherwise, we will not be able to cherish them to make them happy. This is Brother Lee speaking. I mean, Brother Lee is, I mean, no one knows the truth like him, right? No one can give messages like him. But when it comes to caring for people, he's the same. He doesn't go and give messages to them. He goes and cheer them up. You know, you remember the story? Maybe you have never heard, but it's a story given by, you know, this cellmate of Watchman Nee. You know, this brother named Brother Wu. He was with Brother Nee for some time in a cell when Brother Lee was imprisoned in a very terrible, notoriously bad prison in Shanghai. And he is not a safe person. He's a kind of a street person, you know, gangster of sorts. And he just was the end of himself, and it was so difficult. And then Brother Lee, Brother Nee, sorry, not Brother Lee, Brother Nee, would just one time just put his arms around him and say, just go ahead and cry. Brother Nin knew he was just so bottled up with pain, with grief, with despair. I don't know. I don't know. In a prison like that. And you just cannot be a tough guy for long, right? Brother Nin didn't go preach the gospel in that kind of way. Brother Nin just held him and he just wept and sobbed and probably cried like a baby. And it was through that, or partly through that, this person was saved. Brothers, this cherishing, and sisters, that's cherishing. Today, this sad world needs cheer. And the real source of cheer and joy is none but Jesus. But it has to come through humanly through us, not directly from the heavens. If we would really are joyful people, and if we know how to cheer up others because we care for them, so many people will believe what we say, receive what we say. Brothers, this has even immediate effect on our gospel preaching. You know how many people that got saved and come to the church, not just because of what we tell them, but because of what they experience with us. Yes, our meetings need to be strong, rich, and prevailing, our meetings. But outside of the meetings, when we're with others, with the saints, with people, we should be happy. We should be joyful. We should be compassionate in caring. There's so much suffering out there, so much suffering. Then you may say something like, there is healing. The Lord Jesus heals whatever pain you have, whatever emotional pain, whatever state you're in. The Lord is not just one who saves our spirit. He is the one who shepherds our what? Soul. Jesus, the shepherd of our soul. Our soul is our being, and the Lord cares for our being. Couldn't we do that? Shouldn't the local churches be doing that? Someone you meet in the park, right? Your relatives, a friend, co-colleague of yours. Everyone is suffering. Cherish them. Then it goes on. The humanity of Jesus is in his human life in resurrection. Of course, we ourselves suffer too in our human life. And our humanity also is short. It's true. But we're here talking about the source of another humanity, and that is Jesus' humanity. And I also like here to recommend another book for you to read concerning his humanity, and that is the book called Christ as Reality. There's a book called Christ as Reality given in 1970, maybe, in LA, where they cover the five offerings, and he spent the most time on the second And that is the meal offering. The meal offering, which is a type of the perfect, balanced, fine, lovely humanity of Jesus. You go read it, just read that, those chapters. And you'll fall in love with the Lord all over again. So he is the real God-man. He is love and the embodiment of love. He is the embodiment of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He is very human. Jesus is very human. But yet that human life is not just not the fallen kind and just a good human life. It's a human life in resurrection. A human life that passed through death. A human life that is expressed. As a virtue, as virtues of the Spirit in resurrection. And we have that life within us, don't we? We do have the humanity of Jesus. We need to enjoy it more. Let Jesus comfort you, dear saints. Then we can go and comfort people. Enjoy the Lord's never failing love. Then we can go and love others. Be touched by the Lord's compassion over you, and then you can go and be compassionate with others. See, this shepherding has everything to do with our experience of Christ. This next week's summer training will be on the experience, enjoyment, and expression of Christ, kind of along the line of some of our feasts in these last 2 years. We'll go back to the Gospels, we'll go back to the Acts to touch the various aspects of Christ. And one of the biggest aspects, most pronounced aspect of Christ is his humanity. Number one, here it says the main vision of Jesus in the four Gospels, especially in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is that he lived a life that was human, but in resurrection. Just go read, go back to these Gospels, these three Gospels, and just study the Lord's humanity. You will find little details, little gestures, little actions, little words. So human, so human. Not so great, not so, you know what I mean. So high, so far away, but so near and so dear and so accessible, but altogether in resurrection, nothing in the fallen realm. Hey, Jesus was not a man living a natural life. He always puts his humanity aside. Very human, but not by the fallen humanity. In fact, he put that aside. B, apparently he was a Nazarene, a natural Galilean, the Lord. He was in that flesh, but his living was in humanity in resurrection, a little fisherman, right? Carpenter's son. A Nazarene, despised region in near Galilee. But yet You look at him. You study him. What a humanity. You know, was it Pontius Pilate when the Lord was being interrogated after he was arrested? Even he said, what a man. I find nothing wrong with this man. Touch that humanity, saints. Enjoy that humanity and go live that humanity with him in our care for others. C is cherishing others to charm and attract them. Was not in his natural humanity, but in his humanity in resurrection. It's a good word. Jesus is absolutely charming. Jesus Christ is absolutely attractive. He's a magnet. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, look away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look away. We need to spend more time. If we want to really shepherd people, we all need to spend more time with Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face and be charmed again by him and attracted by him every day. Then we reflect him before people, not even what we say, just our living, our few words, our countenance, our gesture would reflect the Lord. Then would also charm and attract others to himself. You know, when Brother Lee was with us and we were with him, you know, of course he is a Brother Lee's Brother Lee, right? But I can tell you, humanly, he's a very charming guy. Very charming, attractive gentleman. And you know it's not just him. He's just a China man. He's, you know what I mean? But there's something there that you just feel and touch that draws you to the Lord. Number two here says when we go out and contact people, we must be persons living a human life in resurrection. So you see, to be a shepherd is not a simple matter. It starts with our life with the Lord. Learning how to live a very human life, absolutely human. We cry, we laugh, we sorrow, we get excited. We're not, you know what I mean, made out of stone or a piece of wood. We have feelings. Even the Lord Jesus, he shed tears at the Garden of Gethsemane. He wept, shed strong tears. He got mad when he saw the people selling things at the temple and drove them out. The Lord was utterly human, but human in a divine way, in resurrection. Some people are charming, attractive, and cherishing in their natural humanity by birth. Some people are just good. They're social butterflies. They're good with people, but they are only charming in their natural humanity. That is not real. That is not lasting. To cherish people in our natural humanity is not genuine. This is why we must cherish people in the humanity of Jesus. So we need to pray, Live thyself, Lord Jesus, through me, right? When we contact people, we should not put on a mask. This is hypocrisy. Instead, we should be persons who are crucified in ourselves and resurrected in Christ. Then we will live in the same way that Jesus lived. Wow. Can we do this? Absolutely. These things, we all can do this. And it's time that we do this. And the next point, D, if we live such a life today, the life in humanity by resurrection, everyone will realize that there's something different about us. We will be sweet, charming, and attractive, yet without deception or hypocrisy. They touch something real. Something real. See, we should cherish people not by our natural man, but by our regenerated man that has been conformed to the death of Christ. D, we need to see the model of Jesus. I like this word, the model of Jesus in cherishing people in his humanity. There's a bunch of verses after this. This is why we'll have to get that outlined to you. But let me give you the reference so that this afternoon you can check this Jesus out, okay? You just check this guy out. Here we go. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Chapter 14, verses 14 through 21. Chapter 15, verses 32 to 38. Chapter 19, verses 13 to 15. Then Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 22, and chapter 7, verse 34. And chapter 19, 1 through 10. Then the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 45 to 51, chapter 4, verse 1 through 14, chapter 8, 3 through 11, and verse 24, and verse 34 to 36. A lot of these are cases where where the Lord was taking care of people one case at a time, one person at a time. Just how human he was in his shepherding of these ones. Well, brothers, I just saw someone put on a chat here with some of these verses I just referred to you. If you didn't get it, you can get it from someone else, or this outline would get to you soon, I hope. It's top of the hour. Thank you for listening to me, and I think I better stop here. Back to you, brothers.